Bruce Hall's Second Opinion.
You play to win the game. You don't play to just play it.
Brought to you by the National Association of Realtors.
Swung on and hit in the air to deep right center. It is high. It is far. It is gone.
Bruce Hall gives you all the latest sports news from a handicapper's perspective.
What the hell's going on out here?
Join the conversation by calling in at 240-317-7294. Now, here's your host.
They are who we thought they were, and we let them off the hook.
Bruce Hall and Roy G.
Welcome, New York. Welcome, Washington, D.C., Baltimore. Anywhere you're listening to my show, this is Bruce Hall. I'll be doing the show with my buddy Matt Lynch today. I think Roy's expecting a baby. Is that correct? Either he or his wife. I'm not sure which one's going to actually have the baby.
I really hope it's his wife.
Yeah, it'd be pretty tough.
Because he would make a really ugly girl.
Well, he's not. I don't know. Roy's kind of cute when you think about it. Anyway, you're listening to the show. Thanks for joining us today. World Cup finals today, Matt.
Yeah,
and Matt predicted Germany. He actually picked the Dutch. But hey, did the Dutch had to destroy Brazil? I saw the first part of the game. What was the final? 20-0?
It was 7-1. I've made so many predictions. What I'm going by is,
hey, Brazil, way to show up for your game.
MLSsoccer.com, I actually called this final. I called so many different finals in so many different areas, but this one I called on, one that I had to pick from the beginning. I had the final. And I also had Brazil in third place. I thought it was going to be Uruguay in the...
Well, yeah, but they weren't third place, right? They were fourth?
In the third place game, I mean.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, here's the problem with a consolation game at this level. Why would you have one? I mean, it's not like third place is going to get you into another tournament or anything. Here's what I believe. I believe that by doing that, here's what they created. First of all the really rich people and all the people that just wanted to see them win, they gave their tickets away or sold them for $1 outside the stadium. Because let me just say this, the ACC tournament, which I worked for 25 to 30 years in Greensboro and Charlotte, and occasionally, like up here in D.C., they'd have it from time to time. And they had it at Georgia Tech, I think, one year. They actually had it in the Omni. They didn't have it at where Georgia Tech's basketball floor is. But the ACC tournament used to be a huge draw. Not so much anymore because there's so many teams.
There's no ACC anymore.
Yeah, well, there's like, yeah, people don't know who's in it and who's out of it and all that. But here was the deal. If Carolina lost on the first night, you could get a ticket to the finals for $5. Because half the people there wanted to see Carolina play because their entire life revolves around Carolina blue for some damn reason. And I'll be honest with you, I don't see it. I don't see it. It's not like that's the only university in the state of North Carolina. Go Pirates. But
I was going to say, what colors do they wear?
Or Wolfpack. I love the Wolfpack. I love the Appalachian State Apps. I love the, I don't love the UNC Charlotte, whatever they are. That's pretty tough. I can't even think of the name of UNC Charlotte.
There's a lot of technology.
There's Davidson University. There's Davidson University. There's Elon. University
of Arizona.
I'm talking about North Carolina, dipstick. I'm not talking about.
I'm talking about all the online ones.
You know, you're
Phoenix Online.
Stop it. But anyway, we're going to talk a little bit about World Cup right now. We're hoping to get our expert to call in, but you know, we always wait until the last minute to try to get a hold of these guys, and you know, he's probably got a family or something, so it's kind of tough. What was his name? The guy we were trying to get on the line.
Oh, Tony Lamarzi, voice of DC United and MLS analyst.
Yeah,
he's
a sharp guy, and I guarantee you he's working today. Probably doing a million shows, doing a million shows today.
Basically because MLS is also coming back they came back about 2 weeks ago, but now everybody's just like, hey, I'm into soccer now. I need to find out who my team is.
Yeah, and I find myself talking about soccer. I mean, I get excited watching the games. You know, the thing I liked about Germany is they kind of look a little bit more physical than a lot of teams, and they seem to really enjoy playing together. Maybe that has to do with winning. Hello, Brazil.
Yeah, everybody's happy
what is
when
Brazil?
You win.
Brazil, what, last two games they lost, they gave up 14 goals. Is that correct? Yeah.
And touchdowns. Somehow they had touchdowns scored on them.
Well, and I guess that guy going out really, really hurt him. You know, the guy that had the bat, that got hit in the back, and
Neymar.
He broke his back. That sucks. Hey, we got a lot of stuff happening in Major League Baseball this week. Last year, this time, I was headed to New York City in the 105-degree heat that was unbelievable, if you remember this time last year in the city. And I went up there for 2 or 3 days. I went to the Home Run Derby. I think I did the show up there on a Sunday and hung around. And this year, be a little cooler, I think, in Minneapolis than it was in New York City last week. But a lot of people are headed there for the Futures game, which is tonight. The Home Run Derby, which is tomorrow night. And the game, which is Tuesday night. And I'm going to say this for the first time ever. I think the Futures game, in my opinion, will be the best night there for the best bang for your buck if you can get a ticket. I think the Home Run Derby is easily every year better than the All-Star game because I've been to 20 All-Star games in the last 25 years or so. Matt told me to get away from the mic. I'm spitting on it. The game is anticlimactic. The game really means nothing because, A, a lot of people don't want to play in the game to begin with because they're more worried about their teams, which is understandable. Which is why the rosters have gotten so big. The rosters are huge now for the game because they don't know who's going to play and who's not going to play. I'll give you an example. The Washington Nationals, and I'm not saying this because I'm a Nationals season ticket holder, they have nobody in the game now because Jordan Zimmermann had bicep cramping and it left the game the other day early. And he was the only player from the Washington Nationals that actually made the team. Now, Anthony Rendon, or if you listen to Tom Boswell the other night, Rendon, it's like that commercial on TV, it's pronounced Gordon. You know, this guy's supposed to be a baseball guy, and he's calling him Anthony Rendon. Now, Tom, I apologize if that's really the way you pronounce it, but I'm guessing it's not. Yeah, I mean, I've never heard it pronounced that way until I heard you interviewed. Now I know why you write in print and you don't do interviews. I hear you're a really nice guy, though, and one day I'd like to meet you and talk about some stuff in the 70s I wrote. That's pretty interesting right there. The thing that is that baseball, this is a big week for him. And I'll tell you what's even a bigger week for baseball, because I'm getting ready for it too. Cal Ripken Collegiate Baseball League at Povich Field. We have our All-Star game on Wednesday night, and this is in Bethesda, Maryland. Now, this is 11 teams from Baltimore all the way into Virginia. And we have the South team playing the West All-Stars. South All-Stars playing the West All-Stars. There's a home run hitting contest. There'll be batting practice. It'll be a lot of fun. The kids eat dinner. And I won't be able to go to Minneapolis because I'm going to be hanging around and watching these kids play. What's happening in Minneapolis is if you're not at the game, guess what you're doing? You're fishing, you're hunting, you're going home to just relax and be with your families. And this is a big deal because this is the most amount of time between now and the playoffs in baseball, which is the second week in October, when these guys have a break that's as long as 2 days. The most amount of time they ever get off during the season is 1 day, and sometimes that doesn't happen for 2 or 3 weeks. We might have Bruce Bochy on later. It's early out west, and I kind of don't like getting him up too early for a Sunday show, especially when he's been shut out 2-0 the night before. He's not normally in a pretty good mood when we do that. But we're going to talk a little bit about baseball and about what's going on in the West and what's going on all over baseball from a standpoint of these injuries. A lot of bad injuries, a lot of elbow problems, a lot of pitching problems. I have a lot, seeing college pitchers and high school pitchers all year long and watching these kids work out and play on these teams. Oh, somebody's on the phone. Let's see who that is. Hey, who's this?
Bruce, Scott O'Neill.
Scott, how are you? Can I put you on hold for about 30 seconds and we're going to be right back with your segments?
That'd be great.
All right, Scott. That's Scott O'Neill. He's president and general manager of the Philadelphia 76ers. And, Scotty, if I'm not incorrect, also the New Jersey Devils, correct?
Yes.
All right, absolutely. Buddy. We'll be right back. I got to earn some money here. For the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. Back in a minute with Scott O'Neill.
We're back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation by calling 240-317-7294 or on Twitter, hashtag BH Sports. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
I've got Scott O'Neill, general manager and president of the Philadelphia 76ers on the line. NBA's getting pretty busy right here, Scott, aren't they?
It's I'm the CEO of the Sixers, too. President, general manager is Sam Hinkie, who's an incredible exec.
Oh, I apologize. I just gave you a paycheck. I don't want to be stealing Sam's title.
You just got a raise.
And you're also a hockey guy. You're also a hockey guy, still involved in the New York area with the New Jersey Devils, which, you know, if anybody can figure out the Devils, you'll be able to do it. I know you love hockey.
Now, I do love hockey. I love both the sports.
Can I ask you a question? This is
absolutely.
And you got to be real careful how you answer this, I'm sure. You could ever be able to root for, I know you used to root for the Flyers. I mean, you were a Flyer guy, but you've been a Ranger guy for a while. What do you do now, Scott? Look for a tie? It's really simple.
I don't want to oversimplify this. You know what happens is when you get to a team and you spend a lot of time with, in the Devils' case, Lou Lamoriello, who I've known for years. Then you get to spend some time with the coach, and you fall in love with the players, and you watch the players, and you become, just like anything, you fall in love with the system, the team, the colors, the organization. And usually the teams you leave or are pushed to leave, you have a little bit of disdain for them. So it's hard for fans to understand because, the specific path of a fan is, you're 3 years old and you get your first jersey, you're five, you go to your first game, and then it's a love affair forever. And when you're in the business and working in it, it works very differently. So I don't have an issue rooting against the Flyers and rooting against the Rangers.
It's actually an
enjoyable passion of mine.
Hey, let me tell you, we're talking to Scott O'Neill, CEO and general manager of the Philadelphia 76ers. Roy, you guys had a chance to do a deal, I guess, early on.
Well, there was rumors circulating around the NBA draft that the 76ers wanted Andrew Wiggins and they were going to stop at nothing to trade up and grab him. Obviously, that didn't happen. He ended up going to the Cleveland Cavaliers. Was that rumor? Was there any truth behind that fuel? Because it seemed to be reported everywhere.
Well, I can tell you this, without a doubt, that there's nothing ever that Sam would engage in that where he would say we would stop at nothing. Our Sam's whole philosophy and program is based on kind of value and optionality. And so which works on the other side where, if somebody, we get a lot of calls from a lot of our young kids and people say, well, you'd never trade so-and-so. And you'd say, never? Like, there's always, if you give LeBron James for him, would you trade him? Like, there's almost never a scenario where you'd say no. So most of the calls around the top picks were coming to us versus from us.
Right.
So, the other thing just to note is I can speak specifically about the year before because this draft's a little close, but we either entertained or made offers on all 60 picks. And so there aren't many teams that have that approach. We do. And so it's a pretty fun environment as a CEO, as a fan, as a member of the community to see how aggressive we are in preparing and getting after it. The draft is an incredible opportunity. When you talk about value, you're definitely getting really young talent at a fixed rate because of the way the CBA is struck. So we think that the draft is of tremendous value. So we spend a lot of time, effort, and energy getting picks. We had two firsts and 5 seconds. So it was pretty incredible, week leading up. And the fans are responding. I mean, to a team who lost 26 in a row and won 19 games, to be in the top five in the league in new sales, it's certainly the fans in Philadelphia say, we get it, we understand the plan, and we're in.
It's that new marketing guy. Roy's got a follow-up for you.
Go ahead, Roy. Give it to me.
No, I was saying that because you guys didn't go up and you didn't grab Wiggins, which, fine. The rumors were there, and it didn't happen, whatever. But then you guys end up grabbing.
What if, before we just start there, what if we think that in every draft, there's one game changer, with the exception of LeBron draft, and we got him.
I agree with you. I think that Joel Embiid is the great guy. I think he's a great pick. He was.
It's unbelievable.
He could have been the number. He should have been the number one overall pick had it not been for the injury. So, I mean, you guys are walking away with this draft with a steal. And I mean, there's numerous reports out there saying that you guys stole the show. That you were the team who did all the. You know, you were the best team in the draft. I mean, I love the Joel Embiid pick, and I'm glad that you guys are so high on him, and he came to you guys, because I think he is that guy who can help your franchise get to the next level.
Hey, Scotty, let me ask you a question real quick. Where's Kevin Love going? Is he going to go to Cleveland, or is somebody like the Sixers going to jump up at a guy like that?
I don't know. I don't. You know, at least from the reports, is they're asking for Wiggins, and Cleveland doesn't want to give. So I don't know when that breaks. I think that this whole experience is going to be fascinating for Kevin and for the Timberwolves, and for all of us who are watching really closely to find out how much leverage these players have and how much leverage the teams have. And it comes down to who's going to blink first. And he's a tremendous player who would help anybody. But if you put Kyrie, Kevin, and LeBron on a team, that's a heck of a squad.
Hey, probably a playoff. Probably a playoff team, you think?
Yeah.
Hey, you know, do you like what you see happening in Miami? I mean, I know. Look, I know that's another team and everything, but he's seeing. You know, it seems like Pat isn't wasting any time. He's getting there. He got Bosch signed for a ton of money.
I'm about to say they got Bosch back. That's something to celebrate.
Well, I just wonder. You know, I wonder what kind of. I wonder if they're going to get a better Bosch. You know, I mean, is that? Do you think this was kind of part of Bosch's plan? Kind of the way it worked out for him.
No, I've spent some time with Chris. He's a smart guy, actually an intellectual type, heck of a player. And I don't know what, you know, it's a pretty good deal down there with no state sales tax as they have in Texas. He's from Texas. So I thought it was a chance of him really going home. But Pat Riley's really convincing. The Heat have a great tradition, and they have a heck of a coach there, and Eric Spoelstra, and Bosch will get a little more feature and get a few more touches, and Riley's obviously proven he can put a winning team together, and I'm sure that they're going to be on the mission to do that, but in terms of you know, did they go forward, did they go backwards? I was listening to the radio yesterday, and someone had mentioned that he thinks that they'll, you know, they'll have a shot at the title, and I kind of chuckled to myself. I'm like, you know. You just lost LeBron James.
Yeah.
I mean, he could go down as the greatest player ever.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure if you get better, you know?
Yeah.
So under any circumstance. I think that's the whole league would say that. But Pat Riley, I mean, I always say history is a great predictor of the future. And he's a tremendous executive.
Yeah, Pat, under, you know, being a great player like he was too. I mean, it's a lot easier for a guy like Riley, and also the guy in New York, you know, who does a pretty good job evaluating talent like that. And Scotty, you were a hell of a basketball player yourself. Maybe not for the Knicks or the Cincinnati Royals or whatever they were.
You know, I had a world class. My mouth could go at anywhere. My leg.
Hey, we're talking to you. Still look the same. You just look like you put on a little bit of weight. But I mean, you were so long and lean when I first met you. Anyway, hey, listen, let me ask you a question. Wizards make a deal. Of course, they lose a reason. We kind of thought I say we because they're my team.
Pierce.
Yeah, 30. He'll be 37, I guess, soon, or he's 37 already. Paul is. He's got to help those guards, doesn't he? I mean, he's going to just help them with his experience and kind of knowledge of the NBA, isn't he?
He's an assassin. He's the most underrated player of our time.
I agree. Yeah, absolutely.
He is nasty. He has ice in his veins. He hits big shots at big times. He's a good guy who's an absolute warrior. I mean, he is tough as nails. They are going to love him in Washington. And yes, he's old. But he's got like kind of an old man's game, even when he was young, right? He's never had a great body. Mm-hmm. He's never like been the fastest guy. He's never been the quickest guy. He's got a really quick first step, which you don't lose. He's got a sick stroke, and he's got ice in his veins. Like he'll play and help them. I mean, that guy, I'm telling you, he'll be a really, really nice piece to a young team that I absolutely loved watching this postseason. Wizards and Warriors, I could watch all day, any day.
The Warriors are another team who's been in the conversation for Kevin Love. It seems like Kevin Love's just getting pulled in all kinds of directions. You know, I mean, the Timberwolves still kind of have a say in all of this. It's kind of the overlooking, you know, factor in all this. So, I mean, there's still a lot of moves to be made, but this last 40 hours has been crazy. As a basketball guy, obviously you're a basketball guy. What has been your favorite move other than the LeBron James? Let's leave that in his SI letter out of this. But what has been your favorite move of all the pieces moving around?
I don't know if there's a favorite move. I tell you what, like, you know, this is a fun time of year for all of us. And the, you know, from one end, you look at the NBA and we're very top of mind. We're on, you know, every local radio, every local TV, every national program, NBA, 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 NBA. And sure, that's led primarily by the LeBron and Melo talk and certainly some Love stuff. But it's a great, I think, opportunity for the league. I mean, I guess I look at it a little more like puzzle pieces, and I look at different teams and what they need and what they're going after. And I always, you know, look at those at the bottom and those at the top because I think they're the most interesting. And, you know, certainly Cleveland, New York, with appears as Melo's going back to New York.
Yeah,
like, what is New York going to do? I mean, think of, you know, if they're patient, they have Bargnani and Stat off their books next year, and I think that frees up like $30 million or so. And or do they make a move now? And does Melo take the 129, or is he signed for 120 and give him some room? Like, what is going to actually happen? I think it'll be fascinating, absolutely fascinating. So I think this time, and even you look at the Wizards with the truth. Like, I love it. You look, where did Ariza just go? He went to Houston.
Yeah, Ariza right. went to Houston. Yep.
And then Parsons moves. It's like, and these are big pieces. I mean, they may not be Melo and LeBron, but they're big, fun pieces going to places that clearly are saying, okay, we think this is the next step. This is the next piece. It's fun.
Scotty, you know what I'm really happy about? I'm happy. We finally got a big guy that can play both ends of the court in Martin Gortat here in Washington.
I love him, yeah, and I love his comments when he signed his deal. So I'm like, this is the greatest day of my life. I literally laughed out loud when I read it.
he's a good guy.
He's so fun, and I'm so happy for him. He's, yeah. You know, you love it when the good guys get rewarded with the big deals, yeah. and he's certainly one of them.
He's like a 10-10 guy almost every night. He goes out there, and you know he's going to bang, and he goes to the hole pretty well with both hands, and he plays good defense, and he's not scared to rebound. I mean, I think he's probably, definitely he was the guy to sign, not Ariza. What do you think?
Yeah, he's a baller. You know, anyone who's ever played basketball, you have those guys on your team, and you love them. You know,
yeah.
you truly love playing with them. He's one of those guys that compliment a Beal and a Wall really well. And you'd love to play with him every single day because he's doing all the little stuff. Some of it doesn't show up on the box score. Great teammate, seems like. I don't know him. But just from as a fan watching, I can tell you, seeing him play is a lot of fun and a nice compliment to the Beal Wall.
Hey,
1-2 punch.
Scotty, can you stay on for a minute and start another segment with us? Because I want to hear about the 76ers next. We'll be back in a minute with Scott O'Neill, CEO and general manager of the Philadelphia 76ers on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion.
Welcome back to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. You can stay up to date all week by going to BruceHallSports.com or by going to Facebook.com/BruceHallSports. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
We're on the phone with Scott O'Neill, CEO and general manager of the Philadelphia 76ers. And I just want to ask you something. Let's talk about the two most
ask him what his actual title is.
CEO of the 76ers and the Devils.
Yeah, yes. And he's general manager of the Sixers.
No, not general manager.
No. Oh, wait a minute. I keep giving that guy's job away, don't I?
Yeah, you're trying to get him fired.
Let me ask you this. Are you,
he's the best GM, president, basketball president GM I've ever worked with, and you keep crushing him.
Yeah. I'm sorry. You know, can I tell you what?
In Vegas out of earshot.
Hey, hey, Scotty, you know me pretty well. You've been on a baseball field with me. There isn't a lot that I don't screw up.
We gotta
right?
have safety.
Hey, let me tell you, Scott. You mind if I tell everybody how we met?
Sure.
Listen, Scott and I are both involved, and not as much involved now because we have families and we're busy and we can't go to all these events. But there's a great organization. It's a nonprofit called No Bats Baseball Club. And No Bats is probably made up of, what, 80 to 100 guys, all baseball lovers, some pretty good athletes from way back. But we've got honorary members like Nolan Ryan, Reed Ryan, you name them. Dave Dravecki, who's being honored in San Francisco today. I mean, guys that we would come show up and raise six figures for their charities. And in exchange, you know, they would put us up. We played in parks like AT&T Park in San Francisco. We played in Round Rock, the AAA affiliate for the Texas Rangers. We played in Chicago at Wrigley Park. I mean, we played everywhere. And I met Scott when Scott was in college, right, Scott?
I was a lot younger and a lot faster back then.
Scotty was at Villanova, right?
Yep.
Yeah, and you know, Scott was like first-round draft choice because we have a draft, and the way our draft worked with No Bats is you would get to pick your first two rounds, and the next two rounds were given to you by the other coaches. So the way it works is the good guys get picked early, and the bad guys
get... And then guys like Bruce get...
I was a first-round...
Bruce was a baller.
Hey, listen, I was MVP of one, but I tell you what, Scott, I'd need a runner now. I just can't. I don't run anymore. My left knee's just shot. I'm just trying to get, but Scott and I became friends from his dad, Luther. And I got to tell you, Luther was one of my favorite people of all time. And, Scotty, I just only assume that he's still around, right?
Still around. He's got Parkinson's, so he's struggling a little bit. But my brothers and I actually replicated No Bats and created an OBATS baseball club. And it's 2 weekends from now, and my dad's coming and still plays.
You need to send me an invitation, and I'll be there, buddy. I promise.
I love
you.
It. Definitely.
I promise you. Hey, let me tell you, there's nothing better than swinging a wooden bat. Now, I coach in a college wooden bat league all summer. We play every day in June and July. And I tell you, I don't know how Bochy and the major leaguers do it. 162 games. We play 44 games, and I'm ready for a one-month vacation at the end of it. Because I'm just, you know, I lose 20 pounds, which is the good part. The bad part is I'm probably getting so much sun that I have to get a couple of pieces of my face cut off later in the year. That's something we all have to deal with. But my point is No Bats brought me and you together through your dad. And I got to tell you something, Scotty. You were one of the most fun guys to be around. And you're not even, are you even 40 yet? You're not even 40, are you?
44, ripe old age of 44.
That's unbelievable. I could have almost been your father. I'm 60. I'm 60. But I got to tell you, Scott, you know, meeting you, I don't care who you work for or what you do, but there was no doubt in my mind that sooner or later you were going to be, you know, doing what you wanted to do, and I'm glad to see you doing it. Let's talk about the Philadelphia 76ers. Can we do that before we talk about LBJ? You got a lot of youth. You know, it's almost when you got there, there was a pretty good base of young players there. Tell me what your plans are this year.
So it's a long-term plan. You know, if you can look at, you know, there are different ways to build a team, right? There are three things you can do, free agency, trade, and draft. And if you look at the great teams that have been assembled over the last 15 years, they've all been built really differently. You look at, but the two we like a lot are San Antonio and Oklahoma City. And you look at a team like Oklahoma City, just because it's of recent build, you know, essentially you get lucky. You know, you get the number two pick and Portland takes Oden and you get Durant as a consolation prize. Now you could argue that, well, you would have taken Durant anyway, but if you remember back then, it was 50-50.
No, like, I remember.
It was 50-50 in the league. And some people were hardcore Durant, 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 and some people were hardcore Odom. But, you know, at the end of the day, you fall into a situation. And then Durant plays for 4 years without making the playoffs. And in that span, you know, they get Westbrook, pick up Harden, Ibaka. You know, you start to think about, holy cow, look at these pieces they put together. Now, unfortunately, it's a market where they chose to move Harden for essentially a couple draft picks and Kmart on a 1 year deal. So, you know, I hopefully we would, you know, if and when that would happen to us, we would find a way to hold on to such a star. But essentially you go through a little bit of pain, and through that pain, you draft the right way. And by drafting the right way, you know, we spend a lot of time, and Sam's thinking about what makes the most sense in the draft. We like to say we don't get outworked, out-hustled, or outsmarted on any level of the organization. And we make the right choices, and sometimes the right choices in our case. You know, we trade Drew Holiday, who's a hell of a talent, okay? But we get the number six pick, and we get a first this year. So, well, that number six pick we thought was the best player in the draft last year. He just happened to be injured. There was Noel, mm-hmm. who we saw in Orlando Summer League, who went nuts, who's a ridiculously freakish athlete, who has a long way to go in terms of his development. And we want to create a franchise that'll be sustainably great for 10 years, 20 years, 30 years. Well, there are only a few organizations that have done it. The Bulls have done it really well. San Antonio has done it really well. You know, so for us, this isn't about kind of the Lakers have done it really well.
I see you stopped before you got to Washington, though. we're just learning how to do it. It just took Ernie a little longer, I think, with two different owners. When he had Abe Pollin, he had problems because Abe is Abe. And now he's got a guy that kind of understands how to win a little bit.
Well, you look at Ernie. It's a great example, right?
Yeah.
Because he's a good friend. I'm a big fan. So you get a guy like him, you know, this is John Wall's first year, second year,
right?
Third year. It's almost a similar thing from Durant. This is his fifth year coming up, right?
Yeah, I think so. No, it's his fourth year coming up.
Okay.
Yeah.
But it took Durant 4 years.
I know.
He came back from that injury 2 years ago, he was I thought was the best player in the league for that last stretch, okay? And then he comes back last year, struggles a little bit, and then took off. And you think, like, it just takes these guys – a little time, and you know I'm happy for Ernie because he got the time he needed, and you have the down year and you get Beal, and like without Beal, you know, Wall's a classic PG. He needs somebody to get the ball to to knock down shots, and he can score too, and he's got a ridiculous motor and gear. But I think that it's a great model. It's like, you know, and so would you sign up for John Wall 4 years ago? Well, nobody was sure. He was 19 years old or 18 years old. Right, and so here with Nerlens, we got a chance to get the number one guy. We thought, and this year, we got a chance to get the consensus number one guy. We just have to wait a year.
Boy, I tell you,
same injury Michael Jordan had. What if you know, clearly guys passed on Michael Jordan. Was it because of the foot injury? I have no idea.
Right,
but you know, you start thinking about if you get two number one overall picks, and then you go back and you look in the league at the best players in the league now. Look how many of them are number one overall picks. Well, we didn't have the number one overall pick. But did we get two number one overall picks? Maybe.
Yeah.
Well, at least we thought.
Mm-hmm. No,
but does that take time? Sure. Do we have time? Yes, we're patient. Because we want to build a great team for a long time. And are fans patient? Unfortunately, in Philadelphia, they are.
Yeah, they are. Well, they're you know? Hey, Philly fans are Philly fans. You know, you can say what you want about them, but they're going to be there, especially when you start winning.
They bring it. They bring passion. Look, I mean, I certainly can't show some of the tweets to my children. but I got to tell you, like, our numbers are up. They shouldn't be up. And, that's the fun thing that Sam and I kind of chuckle about. It's like the market, they believe the story.
Yeah.
They believe in the plan, and they're buying. And I keep saying now, well, it's like real estate. You're buying low and selling high. And right now, you know, a team that's lost as many games has no reason to have our numbers tick up this year, and they're going to tick up significantly.
Well, I think
that's because the market cares.
Absolutely. And I think it has a lot to do with what you're doing. Scotty, we got about a minute left here, and we haven't even gotten around to LBJ. Do you want to stay on one more segment and talk about LBJ and a little bit about just kind of where the league is right now and what you think?
Sure.
All right, buddy. We're probably going to be back. Let me ask you a question real quick. Go ahead. Show me that, Matt. I've got this memorized, and he puts it in front of me all the time. For the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, and I'm a member of that, members of the National Association of Realtors are here to represent you and protect home ownership. Scott O'Neill back in a minute with more on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion.
We're back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation by calling 240-317-7294 or by emailing us at brucehallsports@gmail.com. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
We're back with Scott O'Neill, the CEO of the Philadelphia 76ers. and not general manager. Hey, listen. Hey, let me.
Roy, I love you already.
Hey, let me tell you something, Scott. You only took me three times. Let me tell you something. You know, Bruce Bochy and I played Little League ball together, and Bochy and Brian Sabian are like, you know, they're inseparable at times, especially after midnight when Bochy can stay up that late when he's allowed to. And I got to tell you, it doesn't matter what your position is with a team in general. Everybody works together, and that's the key, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. And we have that. Fortunately, we have a kind of a esprit de corps, every row and every oar in the water rowing in the same direction. It's a really fun environment to work in. I've never had more fun.
All right, listen, I'm gonna put a little pressure on you here right now. Not a lot, because all you have to say is I really can't comment on that, but what's going to happen in San Diego with the Clippers? San Diego, listen to me. I'm showing my age. L.A. with the Clippers? Is it just going to kind of end up?
I definitely cannot talk. There's an ongoing litigation, so
no,
I have to defer on that one.
I totally understand, and hopefully they get that straightened up.
I have an unblemished record of never being fined by the league. I'd love to keep it.
Well, hey, let me tell you something right now. I'm going to tell you right now that whatever happens is going to put a smile on the face of all the stockholders of the Philadelphia 76ers. That's going to happen.
Sure.
All right, listen, let's talk about LBJ, because everybody in the world, and I got to tell you, yeah, the guy's a great athlete, he's the best player in the game, there's no doubt about it. Somebody asked me yesterday, and you tell me if you agree with me. Somebody said, in their prime, who was better, Michael Jordan or LeBron James? And I just looked at him and go, well, you're talking about two completely different guys. Michael Jordan was a one, but really a two guard that could play the three and was a great defensive player. LBJ is a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and he can play anywhere. It's not even a fair question. LBJ, in my opinion,
no, don't say it,
is one of the best players I've ever seen. And I think he's better than Michael.
No,
I mean, it's a totally different situation. Well, I don't want to get into an argument.
No, we're not going to get into
it. But Scotty, don't you? What do you think of LeBron James?
I have never. He's got Karl Malone's body.
Yeah.
Like, and he handles the ball like Isaiah. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like, so, you know, I don't know if you can compare the two. And I think time
it's
will
tough.
Tell. You know, he's still young in his career.
Yeah.
And Michael's done what he's done over an extended period of time. But, you know, he's been in five finals. He's still really young. And I'm not sure he's peaked. I mean, think about how crazy that is.
Think about how much he's looking forward to the offseason.
I don't know. I always like comparing players to different eras. I mean, even when people say, well, what's he get? Bill Russell. Well, Bill Russell was a lot fewer guys. There was less talent. There were, you know, eight teams, not 30, and blah, blah. You know, but again, like you look at Bill Russell, look at Wilt, averaged 50 points a game one year.
Yep.
50.
Yep.
You average 50 points a game?
Average 50 women a night.
Are difficult for me to hop up and down the elevator and escalator. I know they're fun to think about and talk about, but looking at if you just take LeBron as a snapshot of today, I've never seen anything like him.
Yeah, I agree. I have to agree. You know, I'm an Oscar Robertson guy. I thought Oscar Robertson was one of the greatest players ever because he could he could do everything.
Example.
He was a lot like Michael, and he was a lot like LeBron, but he was smaller. I think the Big O was like 6'5", max, and he could
never saw him play. Watched a lot of film. He's a freak. Again, like, you know, you look at freaks of their time, like Will Chamberlain, freak of his time.
Elgin Baylor,
Oscar Robertson, Elgin Baylor, freak. LeBron James, a freak of his time. You know, they just, their bodies and skill level are different from those of their era.
Yep. Hey, what do you think happens in Cleveland now? I mean, let's put your hat.
A lot better.
let's put a different hat on you for a second. You're the CEO of the Cleveland Cavaliers. What do you start doing right now?
I talked to him last night. He's a good friend of mine. I actually used to work for him when I worked for the Eagles. A guy named Len Komorowski.
Yeah.
So I sent him only he and I could appreciate a very sarcastic email. Something like, must be tough or I can't repeat. But I'm happy for them. You know, that's the thing, too, in the business is you have so many friends at all these different teams and you see good things happen to them and just – you know, I'm happy for him and his opportunity. What he said was really telling, and I thought was really impactful. He said, this isn't about the Cavaliers. This is so important for the city of Cleveland.
Yeah.
And And I don't think the rest of us outside of that city or that market have any real appreciation for the city and that struggle. And when LeBron left, how much it was a, of course he left Cleveland. Of course our river's on fire. Of course this isn't a city you'd want to be in. Even our own don't want to be here. And the psychological impact that had on that city were much, much deeper, felt deeper than a player leaving for taking his talents to South Beach.
Yeah.
And I think in the same light, him coming home and coming back have an exponential effect on the whole city and the dynamic and psyche of a city. And that's the power of sports. And that's why I love this business so much. Because you can actually change the dynamic of a city by getting a player. Now, he happens to be one of the greatest of all time, or will go down as one of the greatest of all time, for sure. And he's homegrown, which is so special,
right?
You know. But I think this is so much bigger than the Cavaliers, and LeBron's smart enough to understand that and the impact of that. And this is, it's a big deal. So if I were I would either laugh or cry, and both would be of the same emotion because I'd be so happy. I would kick my feet up, and I enjoy the next 2 years wholeheartedly, because you're not gonna have to sell a ticket anymore. Sponsors will be calling you for the first time.
Yeah.
I mean, it's fun.
Yeah.
This gets fun in a hurry, and then you just start talking about how you amplify it and how you make it really big and fun. So
yeah,
it's good.
How
good
many
stuff.
More murals do you think they'll be painting? Probably about a dozen, I would say, on the sides of the buildings.
Yeah, I might go paint one if I were him. So. Yeah, no, it's pretty fun. I think what's really exciting, I think, for teams like the Wizards, is the East just got a lot more wide open.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, he said it pretty clearly. I don't think we have a championship team. And you know, look, if LeBron, there's not a team in the East that if LeBron went to, that you wouldn't say, okay, well, there'll right. be one of the teams in consideration to win the East for sure. Chicago certainly just got better with Gasol.
Yep.
And apparently a healthy Rose. That's a really good team. So we'll see. This is going to be fun.
It's
fun.
Hey, we're being treated to several segments with a good friend of mine and a great, great basketball guy, Scott O'Neill, CEO of the Philadelphia 76ers. Scotty, I can't thank you enough for coming on. We got a couple of minutes left. Let me ask you a question real quick. Do you think, and I know we talked about this earlier, what's going to make Cleveland's, what do you think their last piece is going to be? Because they do have room for a piece or two, right?
You know, I don't know their cap situation. So I have to look at it. But I you know, you look at the team, you got one of the top point guards in the league. And you have LeBron. So I think that's what they have.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they had a couple young guards, Waiters and Tristan. They need some veteran help around them if they're going to compete, I think. Wiggins is a real talent. He's 18 or 19 years old. Nice kid, young kid. Will help immediately defensively, but I think he'll, you know, we'll see how, you know, most rookies don't have a huge impact. But LeBron and his development will certainly help him. So you probably, for them to win a title, you know, I guess I'll leave it to their GM, who's terrific, to figure it out. But I think it's any team that LeBron goes to immediately gets to be the center of the world. And we'll be seeing a lot of Cleveland, I have a feeling, on national television.
I couldn't agree more. And I'll be honest with you, I'm really happy. Really happy to see him go back home, because when he was in Cleveland, it was kind of a special time for the city, and it made a lot of sense. We got 1 minute left, Scott. The New York Yankees, don't they need to be selling right now? I mean, isn't it time to get rid of some of that dead weight and get to work again?
I don't know.
I think Brian Cashman's out of a job, is my point. I mean, I know you probably know Brian, but in my opinion, he hasn't had to do anything for a while. And,
I haven't worked for the Yankees, but being in New York with the Knicks and the Rangers,
yeah.
It's a different animal. Brian Cashman's done an amazing job, won world championships, and people say, yeah, but he has the biggest peril. Sure, and there's different expectations that come with that, and the different pressures that come with that, and And so selling or buy, I leave that to you and Brian to hash out. But yeah, New York is a different beast and it's a different animal.
Scotty, thank you very much, buddy. Hey, listen, I'm going to give you a call because I want to play in your tournament.
Thanks, guy.
Love it.
I love talking to you. Thank you for all you gave us today. We'll be back in a minute.
Anytime.
You got it. We'll be back in a minute on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion.
Bruce Hall's Second Opinion.
You play to win the game. You don't play to just play it.
Brought to you by the National Association of Realtors.
Swung on and hit in the air to deep right center. It is high. It is far. It is gone.
Bruce Hall gives you all the latest sports news from a handicapper's perspective.
What the hell's going on out here?
Join the conversation by calling in at 240-317-7294. Now, here's your host.
They are who we thought they were. And we let him off the hook.
Bruce Hall and Roy G.
And we're back here for the second segment. Thanks for listening in. We just finished up the first hour.
It was great.
Three segments with Scott O'Neill, who is not the GM.
He is not the GM not of the GM. Philadelphia 76ers. You know what he is? He's the
not.
GM of the hockey team.
No, he's not.
He's just the CEO
no
of that
GMs.
Too.
No GM to his name. But that's okay.
You know what? I gave Scotty a lot more money. I was paying him big time.
He is the CEO.
I can't believe he's 44. I remember
CEO,
when he was in high school.
General manager, starting point guard.
He is whatever he wants to be.
Hey, I knew him when he was in high school. He's 44 now. Hello?
He's the chief executive officer for the Philadelphia 76ers, New Jersey Devils, and Prudential Center.
And you know what else?
Shortstop for the San Francisco Giants.
Hey. You know why he's running Prudential Center? Because he ran Madison Square Garden for a few years. He was CEO of the Garden.
I've heard of that place.
He was CEO of the Garden.
Heard of that.
And I got to tell you, right now, I like the future of Philadelphia basketball.
I love it. I've looking over their roster, and I love every single one of them.
Well, you
players.
Know what? He's going to put a couple pieces together. They may not make the playoffs this year. But
probably won't, no.
No, but it's a long plan. It's going to be like he said, it's going to be like Oklahoma City.
I mean, they must have drafted 15 players in this draft.
But why not?
They got one of the guys that I absolutely love out of the draft, and that's Russ Smith. I love
Where's
Russ.
He from?
He's from Louisville. I love Russ Smith. He helped Louisville win the title
Is he a forward?
He's a point guard shooting guard.
Yeah.
He's a great player. And then they get, of course, they get Joel Embiid, the Kansas star.
He was the good guy.
Had he not gotten an injury, would have been the number one overall pick. But Sir Andrew Wiggins went up there. I mean, they were in a great spot to begin with, a third overall pick. You're going to get one. I mean, there was three huge stars coming out of this draft.
Huge stars.
And a very, very, very
big, massive stars. like the moon. Yeah, this is the super moon.
That's right. It was last time.
We're closer to the moon than we've been in 500 years. Is
the
that right?
The moon isn't a star, though.
It's no, of course not. It's a moon.
It's a moon.
We know that.
Stars.
Hey, I have a college education, Matt, okay? Give me a break.
I went to college.
Even though I went to East Carolina and got a degree, it doesn't mean I'm stupid. Hit my hand.
Your Pirates are going into the. Your Pirates are moving to the American Conference this year.
Yeah, they are.
Good for them.
Yeah, they are, and
they get to.
And that's going
to
be kind of an interesting conference. It's kind of a little bit of the Big East. Well, yeah, but it's every. Well, excuse me that we're not in the Big 12. You're going to get your You're going to get your butt reamed by everybody. Hey, your boy Dana. He's not.
I know he's not your
boy.
I don't like Dana.
Well, Dana's gone because he's going to lose 10 games this year. He is. Trust me. I've seen the schedule.
I don't think they'll go.
All right. Eight games?
Okay. Yeah. We're speaking.
Well, listen. If
10 games would mean they're, what, 2-10?
If he doesn't get a bowl game, he's gone.
Oh, they're not getting a bowl game.
Well, he's gone. Wouldn't you be gone?
I wanted him gone last year.
I know you did. You were kind of like, hey, let's go over that. I'm going to go over some results from yesterday while I still got him up here. We're talking Major League Baseball because this is the week of the All-Star game. And for one of the few times ever, I'm not going. Now, I've been to an All-Star game in Minneapolis, but it was at the old dome, the Minneapolis Superdome. The most uncomfortable, hot place I've ever sat in.
Now, what is it, Target Field or something like that?
Now, it's Target. It's outside. Yeah, it's got a roof.
Now, right?
Huh?
Is that the other?
That's no,
the other
no, it's got a retractable roof. But here's the thing. It's going to be a great futures game. They say it's the best futures game they've ever seen.
Well, lots of young players. I mean, the league is flipping, so to speak. I mean, there are
absolutely
so many great young players.
Well, and you know what? If they're pitchers, they probably have a 50-50 chance of getting Tommy John in the next, 2 years. Because I've never seen more problems. You know what the problem is, Roy? everybody's trying to throw too hard too many times. In the old days, and I say old days, this is 20 years ago, you didn't go out there if you were a starter and try to throw 95, 96 every pit, every fastball. You'd take a little something off of it. Mm-hmm. You'd work your breaking ball, and you'd throw more changeups. And that's what the kids that are 16, 15, 14, 17, 18, that are getting ready to go to college and they're being recruited by these Division I schools, if you're a right-hander and you're not breaking 90, you're not getting probably not getting much of a scholarship to even college. Well, you know what they're doing? They're playing with a radar gun. They're throwing as hard as they can. Even they don't have the command. Mm-hmm. And what they are doing is they're getting micro tears in their ulnar ligament, and eventually it busts and they have to have TJ.
I was reading that Tommy John surgery is becoming a cosmetic surgery at the high school level, where they're taking pitchers who are throwing hard and they're just going in and doing the surgery anyways to prevent it from happening.
Dr. Andrews isn't doing that because I listened to him. He did a great – remember when I said I thought we were going to have Dr. Andrews on? Mm-hmm. I'm in the process right now trying to get him on the show. He is a phenomenal guest, and he knows more about Tommy John surgery than anybody. I mean, he's a specialist. He's the best. Let's look at these results yesterday. Chicago White Sox beat Cleveland 6-2. Arizona shut out my San Francisco Giants 2-0. Ryan Vogelsong pitched a good game though, and that was the second baseman who took him to the World Series in 2012. He's back now. At Marco Scudero, that was his first. He went 0-for-3, walked and punched out once. The Giants had 4 hits. That's it. They gave Brandon Crawford the day off. Joaquin Arias went 1-for-3. Brandon Belt went 1-for-2 with 2 walks. That's more like it. Morse went 1-for-4. That was it. Vogelsong threw 6 1/3 innings, gave up 2 earned runs, 4 strikeouts. His ERA is 3.86. And you know what? Miley, the pitcher for Arizona, threw 7 innings of 4-hit ball, and he's on my score sheet. On my score sheet. Just flip him with your thing. We got a fly trying to get on the air here. Atlanta beat Chicago, which I don't like to see because I'm a Nats fan. Excuse me, but the Nats won too. The New York Yankees actually won a baseball game. Stop the world and let me off. Houston 3-2 over Boston. Houston is getting better quickly. The New York Mets have been on a roll. We're up and down with the Mets. They got David Wright back. Curtis Granderson's hitting the ball. Harvey's not coming back, but they have some good starting pitching and they're doing a great job. St. Louis beat Milwaukee 10-2. I want to say that's Milwaukee's 10th loss in 11 games.
They're really good.
Well, no, they are good, but they're still in first place. Tampa Bay actually scored 10 runs in one
really
game.
Still in first?
Yeah, they
After
are.
After this big losing
they're
streak?
They're like 2 games out
Man,
in front.
They had a lead, huh?
Detroit is on a roll. They're 7.5 games up in their division. It's over in the Central. Detroit's going to win everything. Yesterday, in a 5-1 game, they basically, you know what I hate? I hate when your computer gives you pop-ups.
They're tied. They're tied.
I'm going to smack somebody here in a second with my computer. But anyway, let's do this. Let's go to MLB.com. You people at home that are there.
I got it, what you need.
Pull it up. We're going to go over today's stuff. Games. Oh, you know what I've got here, Roy?
Mm-hmm. Well, the Brewers.
Let's do the.
They're a game and a half up on Cincinnati and tied with the Cardinals.
Yeah,
so
I
if they
know.
Continue this streak, man.
Yeah.
Well,
they're looking like? They're looking like the Giants because the Giants were 10 games up and now they're tied, right?
They're a game back.
Oh, they're a half a game. Yeah, they're a full game back because they lost last night. You're right. Washington tied with Atlanta, right?
Yep.
Miami's 6.5 games back. You can write off Miami, New York, and Philadelphia unless something terrible happens to a starting pitcher, which we were scared of when Jordan Zimmermann went down this week.
Yeah.
He actually came out of the game with biceps cramping, and a lot of times biceps cramping is it can be just a sign of an elbow problem. But they say he's okay. His MRI just revealed some soreness or a muscle pull. Milwaukee and St. Louis, they're the only, Cincinnati's only a game and a half back. Pittsburgh is 2.5 games back. I'm not going to write anybody off there because St. Louis is not that good this year. I was wrong about them. I picked them to win, remember?
Mm-hmm.
L.A., San Francisco are the only two teams in the West that are going to even have a chance. Let's go to the American League. The Baltimore Orioles are starting to look like the team you and I both said that they would this year. Toronto is three games back. New York's four games back, but New York's one game over 500. Detroit is going to run away with it, 7.5 games out in front of Kansas City, Cleveland, Chicago, Minnesota. And Oakland is only two games ahead of the Los Angeles Angels. I still think Oakland's going to run away with that. They made that big deal for the two starting pitchers from the Cubs. Nothing's going to happen. For the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. More baseball when we come back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion.
We're back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation by calling 240-317-7294 or by emailing us at brucehallsports@gmail.com. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
You know, we're going to have Tony Mazur, who is becoming...
Is he sober?
Can I tell... Well, no, you know what? He doesn't drink that much because he when he tweets...
He drinks this weekend.
Yeah, I know.
Everybody in Cleveland drinks this
weekend. Let me tell you, he was like leading cheers at some big bar last night.
He needs a chaperone.
I got home at about 12 o'clock last night, and at about 12:45, I was getting ready to go to bed, and Mazur was all over Twitter.
There's just videos of Mazur standing on bars, spraying champagne on people.
Can I tell you what? If you're in Cleveland and you're a sports guy with Johnny Manziel and LeBron James,
and they're boys,
here's what I would recommend. Johnny Manziel needs to meet LeBron James. LeBron will keep Johnny.
They're
in
boys.
Check.
They're under the same.
They need to be boys because Johnny don't need to be hanging out with no Justin Bieber. That little piece of crap. Can I say crap, Matt?
You can say crap.
Okay. Hey, let me tell you something. Justin Bieber should. Where's he from? Canada.
Yeah, you need him.
They need to send him back there. They need to get him out of here. What? How many times has he been busted on an airplane for drugs? I mean, isn't that a felony? Oh, it's not. It's not my cocaine and heroin. It's somebody else's. I'm just kidding. I'm making that up. Probably. I don't like the guy. Okay, I just don't like him.
Who, Justin Bieber?
I've never even heard him sing. Can he even sing?
No, nobody can sing in these days.
Nobody.
We got autotune.
All right, let's go. Hey, let's go. I want to go to a couple.
He actually wasn't that bad when he was in Canada in like 10 and on the streets. Like, he was actually decent. And then what's his name got a hold of him? Usher.
All right, Usher.
Usher can ruin anything. He could. If Usher took control of the Cleveland Cavaliers, they'd suck next year.
Well,
that's
probably.
That's how Usher is.
Well, I don't even like him on that show, The Voice.
Yeah, that's right. He's on that crap.
I don't like him. You know, he got the little fat guy kicked off. Fat guy got kicked off because he was allegedly, you know, having, you know, sex with a girl that wasn't her idea. and I'm thinking, well, that wasn't her.
That's a great way to put it.
It really wasn't her idea.
Kind of like the
girl in Tallahassee, Florida.
Oh my
that
God.
Was, you know, that was offered a scooter ride home
this
after, you know.
Oh my God.
So anyway,
it
let's
wasn't her idea.
Hey, let me ask you this. Let's do this. Sunday Probables. Let's give everybody this. Then we're going to talk about the All-Star game. Because Mazur's going to call in at 11:30. Chicago's at Cleveland, Danks at Bauer. It's an even game, even though Cleveland is a -157.
Cleveland rocks right now, man.
I'm not taking them.
LeBron's going to be there. Johnny Manziel's going to be there.
I'm passing on the game.
I don't know. If
Toronto's at Tampa Bay. This is the best game from a pitching standpoint, best game of the day. R.A. Dickey, a Cy Young Award winner, when he was with the New York Mets, against my boy David Price, who I'm trying desperately to get the Giants to take. I'm taking Price at home because he knows how big this game is for his wallet before the trade deadline.
Yeah.
Take Tampa Bay, and I would say for a substantial amount, 4 stars.
This could be one of the last times he pitches for the Rays.
Yes, it could be. And God, what a great thing that would be, getting out of that damn big gym they play in. Boston's at Houston. Cozart is on fire. He's 9-6 as a starter. Clay Buchholz sucks. Take Houston here. Houston is actually an underdog in this game. Take Houston. Take Houston.
Go ask
Boston's starting to play a little better. Verlander's at Chen. Jason Verlander, you ready for this? His ERA this year, and he, by the way, he's making $25 million a year. And you know what? Every time I see Kate Upton, I'm sure he doesn't care what he's doing except when he's with her.
Is he dating Kate Upton?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Good for him.
God, exactly.
Good for you.
You know what? Never mind. I'm not going to say it. I'll get back to that later.
That's why his ERA sucks.
But I'm going to take, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take Detroit is on fire, right? I'm going to pass on the game. Because Kansas City needs to win. L.A., the Angels, who are on fire. Oh, God. They're playing against a guy named Baker from Texas. Do you know what Baker's record is versus the team? When he 0-14 when he pitches.
That's pretty good.
I think I'm going to take the other side. I'm gonna take Skaggs from L.A. They're on fire anyway. They're -157. Take them. That's like a 3-2 favorite.
How is he
for those
still
of you that didn't go to college? That's a 3-2 favorite. Oakland, you got Gray, one of the best pitchers in the majors, going against Young from Seattle. My wife calls Young the Tick because he's 6'10" and his head's about the size of an apple. I mean, he really looks like that guy in, what was the name of that? Men in Black, when he would shoot the guy in the head and his head would shrink. Mm-hmm. That's what he looks like.
Or the Koopa Troopers in Mario.
I don't know Mario.
Anybody
come on,
nerd up with Men in Black. Quick?
Anyway, it will call in, okay, if you want to talk about that. But anyway, hey, take Gray. They're going to win. Oakland's going to win. New York Yankees, Whitley. Some guy I don't even know. He's going against Gausman in Baltimore. Take Baltimore because the Yankees won yesterday. Baltimore will win today.
Baltimore.
Yep. And Pittsburgh's at Cincinnati. You got Liriano at Cueto. Johnny Cueto has been money all year. ERA 2.03. He's only a 3-2 favorite. Take Cincinnati here. They need to win, too.
Yeah, I agree.
By the way, Miami is at New York Mets. The Mets are on fire. And guess what? DeGrom is pitching for them. Take the Mets. And they are -140. That's like 7-5 favorite. Take it. That's a really good. If the Mets lose this game, I'll be extremely, extremely disappointed. I mean, not that disappointed, but I'll be disappointed.
I mean, I won't be really that upset. Not I probably won't even watch the game.
It would depend on if I was in Vegas or not. It would depend on if I was in Vegas or not at the time. Washington, you got Tanner Roark against Kendrick. The Phillies suck. The Nats are pretty good, but Roark on the road sucks. I'm passing on the game. St. Louis, you got Martinez, who throws 100 miles an hour against Peralta for Milwaukee. Well, Milwaukee's lost 11 of their last 12. I'm passing on the game because St. Louis isn't that good either.
If St. Louis wins that, they're in first.
Yeah, but I'm not taking it. They're on the road. Atlanta, the Chicago Cubs, you got their best pitcher, Wood. He's one of their best pitchers now. They traded their two best pitchers, Hamill and the wide receiver from Notre Dame away. You know who I'm talking about. That's the way my mind works. He used to be a wide receiver with Notre Dame. Come on, what's his name? He's a guy with long hair.
I don't know.
He's now an Oakland A. But anyway.
Golden Tate is he?
No, it's not Golden
receiver
Tate.
Receiver from Notre Dame I've you ever got, cared about.
All right, but take the Cubs. The Cubs are on fire. Arizona, Nuno. They got him from, didn't they get Nuno from the Yankees? I think they did. Against Madison Bumgarner. Bumgarner at home is not the pitcher he is on the road. At home, he's average on the road. He's like the best road pitcher. Take Bum anyway. -180. Take him. San Diego, Ross, who's been pitching extremely well against Ryu, who last time out gave up 8 runs in like 4 innings. I hate L.A., but I'm passing on the game.
I'm taking Ryu.
And you're on drugs.
Well, he's got
and
that. Then, yeah, exactly. He's got that.
Ryu can. And anyway, and you got one interleague game. You got Minnesota. Philip Hughes, who's actually pitching extremely well in Colorado. And Colorado right now seems to be struggling, but I'm going to pass on the game because they need to win too bad. So there you go. How much time we got for the break, Matthew?
6 minutes.
Oh, we got plenty of time. Let's do
this. We're going to have to make something up.
No, no, no. We're not making anything up. Go to the All-Star Game picks. We're going to go over the picks. Can you pull them up for me?
Yeah, I'm on the
and you know what? You can right. See them all. They actually give you a breakdown and all that. If you go, people go to MLB.com, click on All-Star Game Guys. I don't think it says All-Star Game Guys, but it's on there. Have you got the list of All-Star players? You're doing well.
You got to give me a little bit.
All right, well, let's talk about it. Let's try to figure out who these guys All-Star are, right?
Game. All right, well, we can talk about the guys who got hurt. Price isn't pitching. Jordan Zimmermann is not pitching. Those were the only two representatives for their team.
So, in Washington,
so no Ray.
Washington's not being able to escape, yeah.
So neither of those teams have a guy. Where's the roster, man? You'd think they'd make it a lot easier to find out who is
well, you know
on
what?
This roster.
I don't even need that. You know what I need? All I need are the stats, and I'll tell you who everybody is. Here we go. We're going to start with the National League sortable stats, and you go down, and here we go. This is National League only. Troy Tulowitzki obviously made the team. He'd be the MVP right now, even though his Colorado Rockies blow. They're terrible. Jose Altuve didn't make the team, right?
Here we go. I got the
roster. Did Altuve make the team for Houston?
No. He's not starting, at least.
That's ridiculous. Adrian Beltre, I don't think Beltre made the team either. Robinson Cano is a starter for the American League. You know what? This is both. I'm gonna go.
Do you want me to go down the
I just want to go to National. Yeah, go down both rosters.
All right. Here's National League first. We got Yadier Molina starting at catcher.
Yeah, and he's out for 8 to 12 weeks, which means the rest of the season he's done. Who replaced him as catcher? Somebody.
It doesn't have a.
Doesn't matter. Yet. Keep going.
Then we have starting at first, we have Paul Goldschmidt with Diamondbacks.
He's a stud. Yeah, he's the starter.
Chase Utley is getting the start at second.
Having a good
Phillies.
Year, even for a Philly. Yep.
Troy Tulowitzki stud. Gets the start for the Rockies.
He made
short.
He made a play yesterday that was just sick.
Yeah, he's a freak.
Yeah, he is. He's from San Francisco area, by the way.
Aramis
Ramirez, who actually he's a Brewer, right?
Yep, third baseman.
He has a lifetime average over 300. Did you know that? Yeah,
that's not bad.
Yep. You know who I found that out from? My boy Johnny Nairn, hitting coach for the Brewers.
Probably my favorite player in baseball right now.
You see him
starting in center. Andrew McCutchen.
He's a stud.
The Pirates.
Absolute stud.
He's so good.
Yeah, he's number 3 in the National League in hitting. He's hitting .325. His on-base average is .422. Tulo's is .435. Goldschmidt's is .404. And guess what? Not one other guy has over 400 OBP in the National League. Those are your three best players because that's how I write my lineups. I write my lineups with the best guys getting on base. Lucroy had a great start. He's going to probably be the guy that replaces Molina. I'm pretty sure he will because he's hitting .315. He's got an OBP of .385, and he's a catcher from Milwaukee. Who else you got on that list?
To round out the rest of the outfield, we have Carlos Gomez of the Brewers.
Cargo made it?
Yeah.
You know, he was out. He was out for like a month.
Yeah, he's starting. Yusel Puig for the Dodgers will start. And then Giancarlo Stanton.
Yep.
Whether you like
Yusel Puig or not, listen to these numbers. 104 hits, 26 doubles, 5 triples, 12 home runs, 51 RBIs, 42 walks. He's punched out 76 times. He's got 7 stolen bases, hitting .307, and he's got an OBP of .392. That guy is an all-star. He might be immature, and believe me, I know what that's like.
He's in the Derby too, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, he'll probably win the Derby. Blackman for Colorado's had a great start. He's starting to slow down a little bit. You know who's had a great, great year? Scooter Gennett. I think Scooter might be an alternate at second base. I'm not sure. Hunter Pence made the team. He got put on by the coaching staff or by the players. Listen to these stats for Hunter Pence with San Francisco. 113 hits. Okay, 20 doubles, 4 triples, 12 home runs, only 33 RBIs because he's leading off a lot because they've had, you know, they had their center fielder has been out for a month, basically most half the season almost. You have Freddie Freeman. Did he make the squad? He must have. He's got 28 doubles,
yes,
13 bombs.
He is a reserve.
Yep, 52. Cargo, Milwaukee, did he make the squad?
Starting, yeah.
Good for him. He's got 23 doubles, 14. And by the way, the shortstop for the Milwaukee Brewers, a young 9-month-old son, died yesterday suddenly. He had been sick.
Oh, man.
You had that special. When we get back, we'll get to that because we need to say a prayer or at least ask everybody that's listening to the show to say a prayer to whoever they pray to. For this family, because there's nothing worse than losing a child, especially a 9-month-old baby.
Wow.
This is Bruce Hall. We'll be back in a minute with more of Second Opinion in baseball.
And we're back. And, you know, Tony, I tried to get the producer to come back to Cleveland Rocks.
Don't go there. We only have Tony for one
but
segment.
But he is just, hey. He's hating on Cleveland right now, Dave, which I don't understand.
He's not hating on Cleveland. He spent an hour talking me into why we can't play music I like on my show. On my show, by the way, on my show. And so Roy asked for Cleveland Rocks. And he was getting ready to pull it up. I go, no, Matt, you just spent an hour telling me why we can't do this. Before Roy showed up 10 minutes late for the show.
I was at least later than that. I was probably more 15, 17 minutes late.
Exactly. Hey, Tony.
Yo.
Welcome on in, Tony.
What did I walk Tony, into?
Tony Mazur from Cleveland, Ohio, our favorite guy. You got to be in heaven. LeBron is back, and Johnny Manziel's hanging out with Justin Bieber.
Absolutely. Cleveland is back on the map. Can you believe that, guys?
Cleveland rocks again.
I don't know if it was ever on the map in the first place, though.
Cleveland rocks.
That's because Cincinnati is such a long word.
Let me tell you something. Tony, since you started coming on the show, Cleveland has always been on the map. Always. Hey, listen, when I'm seeing tweets at 1 o'clock in the morning from you at a bar, when I'm coming back from coaching a baseball game, and I mean, I know it's happening because you evidently were leading a cheer at some bar or somewhere. Where were you last night?
I'm at a place called Kelly's Island. It's a vacation spot for a lot of Clevelanders. And
Where is it in the Cleveland River?
No, it's in Lake Erie. It's in the Lake Erie.
Oh my God! Really? I was just kidding.
No, see, we are here at this place, and a lot of Clevelanders come out here. And I'm looking right now at some golf carts, Browns flags, Cavs flag, even a couple of Chief Wahoos I've seen. And I'm at the bar last night, and I nudged my buddy, and I'm like, "Hey, let's do the money sign. Let's do the Johnny Manziel money sign." And somebody's like, yeah, and then they started doing the Here We Go Brownies chant to the point where you couldn't hear the awful dance music going on.
Hey, can I ask you a question?
Yes.
If you had to make the odds right now on, let me think, the first drug bust or /DUI that Manziel gets, would it be 1 month, 2 months, 6 months, or a year? What's the over-under?
I'm going to say a year, because I think the Josh Gordon situation kind of woke up a lot of people, not even just Browns players, but I think in Cleveland, you realize that this guy who's, you know, he gets popped for drugs in college, kicked out of Utah, Baylor, had to go to Utah. I mean, he's a good ball player, but he can't keep his, you know, no pun intended, but he can't keep his nose clean.
Yeah,
and this is now two drug busts here. So someone like Manziel, and we all see the pictures. We all see him talking into a money phone. I think it's going to wake up the entire city in terms of players and say you can't do this anymore.
Well, Tony, this could be speculation, but I heard through reports that on the other side of the money phone was LeBron James, and he was actually, in fact, calling LeBron back to Cleveland. Is there any truth to this?
Well, I cannot confirm or deny, but what I will say is, I was coming on this show back, I believe it was right before the draft, and I said, if the Browns can somehow find a way to draft Johnny Manziel, the dominoes are going to start falling. And
we'll have to check on that quote.
He did say that.
Yeah, you'll have to go through the archives, but it's like, this isn't just big for the Browns, it would be big for Cleveland. And sure enough, LeBron's here. Possibly Kevin Love. Who knows what's going to happen? And oh, by the way, who's the guy who's the general manager and head coach of the Minnesota Timberwolves? A man by the name of Flip Saunders, who is from Cleveland, Ohio.
Flip, I love Flip.
Huh.
He used to coach the Wizards.
Flip Saunders went to Cuyahoga Heights High School here in Cleveland, which is also my alma mater.
My God.
Some great people coming out of that high school.
You know, just because of you, I just followed John Wall on Twitter. I can't believe I did that.
Just because of Tony.
Just because of Tony. Tony.
Tony, you're making dreams come true.
Tony, let me ask you a question. Have you been to any of the, I don't know if you've been out there or not, but how have the Browns looked during their OTAs?
Not too bad. A lot of it's just been the speculation with Josh Gordon, and it's like the story storylines have just come first, and like whatever was, because there's a quarterback competition. We have Ryan Steny Hoyer, who's he's the hometown kid,
liberal.
Which, by the way, I do use that. I do use that every now and then. I credit Bruce Hall.
Thank you very much. Hey, just don't play any music I like, or you'll lose it. According to Matt, keep going. Hoyer is not the starter now, right? And they're going to have a competition for the starting position, right?
Yeah, I think it is going to be Hoyer because he does have the hometown thing.
Really?
As much as we want to see Manziel and everybody is really excited about it, I think they're going to have to do it. Is Ryan Hoyer a good quarterback? I don't know.
Yeah, nobody knows yet.
This is actually a true quarterback competition with two guys that you feel good about here in Cleveland. Not Tim Couch, we go through the whole quarterbacks, all of them since 1999. Derek Anderson, Charlie Fry, Brady Quinn.
Oh, God, Brady Quinn. Jeez. Is at least his sister's hot. Hey, let me ask you. Yeah, she dated that linebacker for the Green Bay Packers. I think they would.
Yeah,
are you? Can I ask you a question? Are you rowing a boat or something right now?
I'm like literally on the water right now.
Well, it sounds like it because it sounds like you got a little one man kayak.
It's
or something.
The party boat. He's actually with Johnny Manziel right now.
Hey, can I tell you? Can I ask you a question? How close have you been to Johnny? I mean, have you gotten up? have you gotten up close? No, Matt. He's not like that. Go ahead.
I have not, but I always wanted to because I have it out there. I said I want to take him to a lower middle class party where it's like Roy going in college down at West Virginia.
Yeah,
you make the little juice where it's you put the natural light and you put just you basically if it's liquid you put it in a vat.
Yep.
And you drink it.
That's right.
And he's been drinking too much really good champagne and really good wine and, high-end liquor and stuff. And it's like, no, let's have some Keystone Light for Johnny.
Hey, don't they still make Thunderbird wine? Don't they still make Thunderbird wine? I mean, Thunderbird wine was like a dollar a bottle when I was young.
I don't know what you can get.
Yeah, I think so.
Mad Dog 2020.
Yeah, we got that.
Mad Dog 2020 like is basically like acid.
Every time we had a birthday in college, we had to chug a Mad Dog.
Oh, that is.
And then your 21st birthday, you had to chug two back to back.
My first wife ran out of my trailer that I was staying in when we were like 18 years old and ran around my neighborhood naked for like 15 minutes. I had to go find her. And that was, she didn't even remember doing it. That's because of Mad Dog 2020.
These are all
not
similar
that I'd
things.
Recommend anybody doing it. This is why I don't drink anymore.
This is everything that has happened in Cleveland this past weekend since the signing of LeBron James.
Hey, can I ask you a question real quick?
Sure.
How many season tickets have they sold in the last 48 hours, would you say?
For the Cavs, the lines have constantly been jammed. What I found out is in the season ticket office, they will. I think there's like a cowbell or just a regular bell that they ring when they get it. Someone either
sell one ticket.
Or buying season tickets, and it's that cowbell has been going off constantly all weekend long, and it's and then we also have everybody capitalizing on LeBron and. There's an amusement park that's called Cedar Point, which actually I'm looking at right now. And they said that if LeBron comes to town, they're going to name a new roller coaster after him and be the King James roller coaster, King James drop. I don't know what it'll be, but and they said they're going to keep true to that promise. You have T-shirt companies that are thriving, and really, it's just bringing business back to Cleveland. And as you saw earlier this week, guys, we got. In Cleveland, we got the Republican National Convention for 2016.
I saw that. That might be the best thing that ever happened to Cleveland besides LeBron James. Well, and Jim Brown. And Bernie Kosar.
Mm-hmm.
And Ernest Biner.
And what's interesting is Cleveland for the last 50 years has been Democrat controlled, and it's, and Cuyahoga County is very Democrat.
I don't know if you've noticed, but they're not doing so good right now, the Democrats. Not that there's anything wrong with that. You know what I mean. And by the way, we had a baseball game yesterday, and I had to take a back way because the beltway was jammed. You know why? Barack Obama was evidently trying to play golf at Columbia Country Club, so they basically blocked off the beltway in both directions. I guess they're worried about, you know, something. So anyway.
Hey, Tony, get a chaperone for the rest of your vacation. All right? Enjoy this time, because soon the regular season games will start and Cleveland will suck again.
Hey, no, they're going to be better than last year. Hey, Tony, thanks for coming on, buddy. I really appreciate it. Tony Mazur, Cleveland entertainer / sports guy.
Check him out on Wednesday. If you follow him on Twitter.
Yes, on Wednesdays.
Wednesdays, Cleveland he has Scene. A show. Yes, Cleveland Scene from noon to 1.
Yeah.
Noon to 1. Check him out.
S-C-E-N-E, right?
Yes.
All right, buddy. You got it. We got to go to Cleveland hang out with Tony.
I'm down.
For the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership, even in Cleveland, Ohio. We'll be back in a minute with more of Second Opinion.
We're back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation anytime by calling 240-317-7294. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
You know, we said we were going to talk about this, and unfortunately, in life, there's ups and downs. This is a big time down. Anytime a child dies, it's a sad occasion, and there's sick children everywhere. But in the sports world, the Milwaukee Brewers, last year's all-star shortstop, Gene Segura, had over 200 hits. He hit over 300. He's from the Dominican Republic. His nine-month-old son, Janiel, died after a 7-6 loss. His mother, who attended the game, told several of the Brewers' wives. They passed the news to their husbands, who then told Segura after the final out. Manager Ron Renicki closed the Milwaukee clubhouse to reporters after the game, and the Brewers' manager appeared equally saddened a day later. I didn't know what to say to him other than give him a hug and tell him that we were there for him. Renicki said the child had been sick. Segi was on the phone yesterday before the game, and they thought he was okay. He was getting better. I really don't know much more than that. I don't want to speculate, but I mean, it could be anything. If you get meningitis and you don't treat it right, I mean, that can be a terrible thing for a small child. As a matter of fact, all small children, the first thing they do when they go to the hospital with a fever is they give them a spinal tap to make sure it's not meningitis. It broke my heart, Carlos Gomez said, their center fielder who's in the All-Star game. I'm getting out of the shower and I see he's crying. I go ask him what's happening. He tells me my child passed away and I dropped it right there. I don't know. I can't even imagine. We feel like everybody wants to stay home, but it's a job we have to finish. Come in and play hard. Cardinals express their sympathy, too. Very sad, very sad day for them. And our hearts and our prayers go out to Gene Segura, who I met, by the way, at spring training because John Nairn's their hitting coach, and Gene works harder than anybody. He's in the cage in the morning. He's in the cage in the afternoon. He's in the cage. He's the last one in the cage in the evening, usually. And this kid is a good, good ball player. Kind of came out of nowhere, really. Anyway, that's just sad. We had a great show today.
Yeah.
So far, we got about 8 minutes left. The NFL has got a lot of stuff going on right now. Everybody's in their OTAs. They're getting ready for training camp. I mean, this is a really exciting time because the next 2 or 3 months are our favorite time, right? Because we have baseball and football. And when you have baseball and football, 2 hours is almost not long enough to talk about everything that's going on and so forth. And I feel very good about talking to – because the NBA in the offseason is pretty exciting too, because that's when they basically put their teams together for the next year. And talking to Scott – O'Neal today was a real treat. I mean, we had him on for 45 minutes. It was like the Scott O'Neal show, which I would have no problem hanging out with him because this guy knows everybody and he really can put a different swing on everything. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't even think, I don't think about long term, and most fans don't. But when you're a CEO, not a general manager, but a CEO, you have to think, well, what's a big picture? What's a big picture look like? Big picture looks like we're not going to get great this year, and we may not even be great next year. But in 3 years, we ought to have the tools and the makeup of a squad where we can go to the playoffs. And once you get in the playoffs, I mean, anything – playoffs?
Playoffs?
anything can happen.
They have a great squad. I mean, they have Michael Carter-Williams, Nerlens Noel. They, you know, they just brought in Joel Embiid. I mean, they have a really good squad. I mean, and I mentioned Russ Smith, who I love. Russ Smith he's a great player.
Where did he come from?
Louisville.
Yeah, that's he's the point guard or the swing guy.
Yeah, I mean, they got him in a second-round pick, one of their 10 or 12 whatever picks that they took this year's draft.
He'll make the team with that team.
He should.
Oh, yeah, he will.
Yeah.
And
I mean, he's a solid player.
You know, Jimmy Smith, by the way, Baltimore Raven, gets arrested at Green Turtle last night. Yeah. I was at the Green Turtle with my team.
Which Green Turtle was it?
I was at the one across from the gambling joint in Arundel Mills.
Mm-hmm.
We eat there before we play the Dodgers.
Yeah.
Because their field is right next door to that. Mm-hmm. And we eat there before we play the Orioles, and their field's like 10 minutes away. You know, in Glen Burnie.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you, they put us in this room, and it's a phenomenal place. And there's like 10 TVs in this room, and we're all eating training meal before we go over and take batting practice. But I couldn't imagine getting locked up at a Green Turtle. Now, this was one in Towson where there's a little more partying going on.
Yeah, I live right down the street from that.
Is it like on York Road? Is it like, you know, there downtown Towson?
It's right in the Towson Circle.
What did he do? Disorderly conduct? What is it? Somebody made him mad?
I pulled up my email because, you know, I'm looking for the Ravens if they sent anything out.
Oh, you know what? I've got it right here. The Baltimore Sun first reported it. He was arrested and charged with failure to obey the lawful order of a police officer after an incident. Now, the incident, it looks like, according to police, the Green Turtle flagged officers down at 9 p.m. I mean, that's early.
Yeah,
after
that's
a
really
woman
early.
Passed out in the bathroom. Oh, that's not good. Report states that when officers arrived, he was aiding the woman to keep her from falling as she vomited into the sink. Well, that's not good either. Smith told police he and the woman did a photo shoot earlier in the evening. After medical personnel arrived on the scene, he refused a police officer's request to step outside the bathroom three times. According to the report, in the process of being ushered out of the bathroom, he allegedly swore at the arresting officer. "What the expletive are you going to do?" he said. When asked to leave, he said, "Expletive you." I wonder what that word is. "What the expletive are you going to do?" When asked for his identification, the idiot Jimmy Smith said, "I'm Jimmy Smith. I played for the Ravens."
He said that?
Yeah. Smith was charged with a criminal citation and released from the precinct. The good news about that is that I'm sure they patted him down, and he did. At least he didn't have any drugs on him.
That Towson Square, for those who've never been there, is littered with police officers.
Yeah.
I mean, there are cops up and down that place, and the Green Turtle is one of the more popular places. I mean, there is a lot. There's usually always a police officer right around that door. It might not be right outside the door, but it is up the no further than a block away. I mean, there's been shootings that happen around that area, you know, because it is a hop, skip, and a jump off of Towson College campus. So there's those emergency things all over it. I mean, this is just stupid. If you're going to go out, don't go out in Towson where there's a bunch of college kids around when you're a professional athlete. If you're going to go to a Green Turtle, go to the one in like Hunt Valley or the one in the Inner Harbor or somewhere in that area where there is, I don't know, people your age, let's say. But if you're going out in Towson and they're Jimmy Smith's age. I mean, if you're going to the Towson Green Turtle, the majority of the people who are around you are 19, 20, 21 years old, and they have DJs. I mean, this is basically like a college club. What the Green Turtle turns into at night is they get a DJ in there and they blast the music and they sell Jaeger bombs and it's the college kid hangout. There's no reason why Jimmy Smith should be anywhere near this place, let alone at 9 o'clock with a girl throwing up. I mean, it's ridiculous.
You know, you wonder. I mean, if he did a photo shoot with her, if that is actually real deal. It sounds like they started partying and maybe they had some plans for later on, and maybe she just couldn't drink. Yeah. You know, handled what she was drinking. He was probably doing like shooters with her.
I wonder if she is.
She probably weighed 105 pounds.
I wonder if she's a college student at Towson.
That could be possible.
I bet you she is, because there's no other reason why he would be at the Towson Green Turtle.
Really?
There's no other reason.
Yeah, there's no telling.
I've seen him at High Tops, which is in Timonium. You might know where that is. That's a bar where a lot of Ravens players go to. And it's out in the middle of nowhere.
It's a little further out.
Right. And it's not near the college, and it's, you know, you're relatively safe there. But going into, basically going onto a college campus to do this, stupid. Very, very dumb.
Yeah, I'm sitting here looking right now we're talking about the NFL to a certain extent. Whatever happened with Ray Rice's deal? I mean, did he? I mean, is that still in court?
I don't know if it's ever gotten figured out. To be honest with you.
After they gave the press conference and everybody basically said that was the stupidest idea I think I've ever seen.
The last
press
report, it's very stupid. The last report out of the Star Ledger said that the Ravens and Ray Rice are continuing to wait on a possible suspension. So,
they're waiting on the league to suspend somebody.
Still playing the waiting game.
Yeah, I hear that. You know, that's tough. That's tough. I mean, you know, that's why I like, you know what? That's why I like women that can protect themselves. Because, you know, I've always said to myself, you know what? I want that girl next to me because she looked like she'd back me up. You know, because if, you know, Ray Rice isn't a real big guy. Now granted, he's a 200-pound NFL player. Mm-hmm. But if this was like Ronda, what's her name? The WWE, she is a monster.
What is her name?
If Ray Rice had smacked her, she would turn him out. She would hurt him. She would.
Ronda Rousey.
And you know what? The more I see that girl, the more I like her.
I love Ronda Rousey.
Don't you think she's great? We got to have her on the show.
She's gorgeous, and she can kick anybody's ass.
See, I like girls that can fight. I don't know why. I like girls that can fight.
There's nobody else who she has to fight other than a girl. Her next fight has to be against a guy. After she beat that dude down in like 16 seconds. Like, that's not even fun for UFC fans, you know? Maybe that's really fun for UFC fans. I don't know. I'm not a UFC fan. But if I can watch the clip of a fight on an Instagram post, then it probably wasn't a very good fight.
You know what, Roy? We've had a great show today. Special thanks to Tony Mazur. Special thanks to Scott O'Neill, the CEO of the Philadelphia 76ers and the New Jersey Devils. And I got to tell you, we're going to talk some NFL next week because they're all getting ready to go to camp. You know, the Giants. I'm sitting here looking at all the transactions for the Giants. Giants are hurting, man. They're hurting. Evidently, Eli's looking good. We'll be back next week, people. Have a safe trip wherever you go today.